Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. We're not going to be video streaming tonight, but we will be back online with that tomorrow night. 40 years ago, about noon, 4 students were shot dead and 9 wounded when Ohio National Guardsmen shot into a war protest. About 2,000 kids at Kent State University. The officials at that school had banned the protest, and the governor of Ohio at the time called in the guard after students at Kent State, like students around the world, reacted to the news that the U.S. was secretly bombing Cambodia, thanks to Richard Nixon. The killings of these students led almost immediately to a student strike of 4 million students on 900 campuses. Half those campuses closed for the year without exams. About 100,000 people went to Washington that weekend to protest the war and the killings. Nixon was sent to Camp David for his own safety, and the 82nd Airborne wore combat gear inside the White House. The government was worried. 10 days later, 2 students were killed by state police at Jackson State University in Mississippi. And for millions of Americans, the idea that determined street protest would ever be viewed as tolerable to the powers that be was over. The killings at Kent State showed how afraid the Nixon government was of the youth in the country. Also, how afraid they were of the truth about the Vietnam War. And from that point on until the war ended, student protest grew. From Sarah and Aaron, Mike, it's my understanding that the type of crude oil spewing into the Caribbean is water soluble. My question, what happens in a few weeks when hurricane after hurricane starts picking up this poisonous water and dumping it all over the southeastern United States? Could there be any other reasons that BP wants waivers signed by local residents? Say maybe to avoid the thousands of potential cancer and property damage lawsuits that seem imminent. Am I off base with a thought like this? I would really like you guys to put me at ease a bit on this issue. Sarah and Aaron. I don't have an answer to that, Aaron, Sarah. I really don't. I don't know what water soluble means. It seems to me that, I mean, oil is not water soluble. I mean, water and oil is the classic, they don't mix. So I'm not sure. I heard somebody else use that term, somebody in media or someplace over the past few days. So I'm going to have to plead ignorant on that. Prairie, too, who sent me a couple of missives about this, might want to weigh in on this if he's listening and just send me something about what all this means. All right? During the first part of the program and possibly most of the program tonight, I'm going to stay away from what's going on in the Gulf. There's nothing to add to it. The situation is worsening, as far as I can determine, and I just can't deal with it tonight. You know, I just can't. It's not about me. It's about this horrendous catastrophe. All I'm saying is I can't focus on it on the program tonight, like we did last night. I can't do it. So we'll try to get back to it again tomorrow night. However, the Christian world in the United States seems to be, I think the Christian God is furious at these bastards. Furious. I really do think the Christian God is warning the Christians that he's going to kill them all. There's not going to be any rapture. There's not going to be heaven. He's going to beat their asses into the ground. I think this Christian God that they came up with is that they created, you know, they breathe life into him. I think he is furious. You want some examples? John Ponder writing at where was this? It's on a blog site someplace. Somebody sent it to me. It's very good stuff. And he points out that when these horrific disasters strike, it doesn't take long for the TV prophets to declare them signs of God's wrath. And equally predictable from these thugs is God's punishments are always closely aligned with the right-wing political views of these freaks on television, like the late Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson or John Hagee, the rest of these thugs. You ever notice that? God's attitudes are almost the same of these right-wing cretinous bastards' views. Interesting. It's amazing. I had no idea that God was such a right-wing thug. Anyway, it's notable, then, that with the biggest ever oil slick bearing down on Gulf Coast beaches and all these deadly tornadoes and floods that we've been having across the South, 29 people dead in Tennessee and Mississippi. All this disaster that's going on, interpreters of divine vengeance have been very quiet lately. Huh? Now, that's not like these right-wing Christian thug bastards that populate the airwaves and populate, especially here in the South. If you remember, within 48 hours after 9/11, Pat Robertson and the now dead and burning in hell Jerry Falwell were on the air expressing what appeared to be inside knowledge about who is really to blame for those attacks. Here's the way it went down. Falwell: "What we saw on Tuesday, as terrible as it is, could be minuscule if in fact God continues to lift the curtain and allow the enemies of America to give us probably what we deserve." Pat Robertson: "Jerry, that's my feeling. I think we've just seen the antechamber to terror. We haven't even begun to see what they can do to the major population." Falwell: "The ACLU's got to take a lot of blame for this." Robertson: "Well, yes." Falwell: "And I know that I hear from them for this, but throwing God out successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools, the abortionists have got to bear some burden for this, because God will not be mocked, unless it's by me. And when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people of the American way, all of them who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in the face and say, you help this happen." Remember that? And after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, this corpulent, meat-eating thug Hagee, Pastor Hagee, John Hagee, declared that God killed 1,800 people and destroyed the region in order to prevent an annual gay event in New Orleans. Hagee: "In the case of New Orleans, their plan to have that homosexual rally was sin. But it never happened. The rally never happened." He was on the air with right-wing thug Dennis Prager. Prager said, "No, I understand." Hagee: "It was scheduled for that Monday." Prager: "No, I'm only trying to understand that in the case of New Orleans, do you feel the God's hand was in it because of a sinful city?" Hagee: "That it was a city that was planning a sinful conduct, yes." Well, God's plan worked perfectly, of course, because the event was canceled. And about a month after Katrina struck, Franklin Graham, the son of the doddering half-dead freak that lives up in the North Carolina mountains, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham blamed the victim. This is what Franklin Graham said: "This is one wicked city, okay? It's known for Mardi Gras, for Satan worship. It's known for sex perversion. It's known for every type of drug and alcohol and the orgies and all of these things that go on down there in New Orleans. There's been a black spiritual cloud over New Orleans for years. They believe God is going to use that storm to bring revival." Now, if you doubt that the divine hand of providence is at work today in the oil spill disaster, you need to look no further than the fact that mighty winds are blowing the oil not southward towards communist Cuba or that bastard Hugo Chavez's Venezuela, but north toward the shores of the most hidebound conservative Christian enclaves on the planet, the side of Vatican City. More in a moment. Wishes all their money for it. It's not trying to tax as well. Your brother's keeper just don't apply, 'cause it's everybody for himself. Jesus came in glory, and in glory he shall return. The preacher said, "In God we trust, ye Democrats shall burn." No butterflies, no hanging chads can save them.
crying back.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malone.
I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk. And you talk that talk.
21 past the hour. Knocks me out. Talking about this piece, somebody emailed me today from, written by John Ponder. Why is God smiting the Deep South? Very interesting because, you know, I hate hypocrites. I think hypocrites do more damage than religion itself, if that's possible. But I really do. Anyway, back to what John has put together here on April 24th, just passed, as the oil spill disaster was building offshore, a series of tornadoes carved a swath of death and destruction right through the heart of the Bible Belt. What it was a supercell thunderstorm produced F4 and F3 rated tornadoes that killed at least 12 people, sent many more to area hospitals. Yazoo City, Mississippi, and Holmes County, Mississippi, were among the hardest hit areas with an F4 tornado bringing maximum winds of about 170 miles an hour. Governor Haley Barbour, the corpulent, disgusting pig that runs Mississippi, activated the National Guard, declared a state of emergency in 17 counties. Blah, 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 blah. In Yazoo City, the twister destroyed a Baptist church. And just today, we learned that 29 people have died as a result of the storms that struck in northern Mississippi and Tennessee. Stranding visitors to no less a shrine to American Christian values than Opryland, where 1,500 people had to be evacuated to a high school. Opryland is essentially destroyed. And yet, despite all this, those to whom God speaks are silent. What gives? Could it be that God has told his prophets an awful truth, that he is directing his vengeance on the Deep South because his people have lost their way? It's worth considering. For one thing, leaders in the region have been struggling with the heinous sin of adultery lately. At least two, Governor Mark Sanford, South Carolina, former Representative Chip Pickering, Mississippi, are associated with the family, a powerful Christian pressure group in Washington. Then there's Senator David Vitter, who, despite being an admitted frequenter of prostitutes, is apparently coasting to re-election this year, presumably with the votes of Republican Christians in his state. Or maybe God is punishing the Deep South, particularly the so-called Black Belt, where slavery once predominated, for clinging to racism. While liberal churches have declared racism to be a sin, conservative Christians have been steadfastly silent on the issue, even though, as one liberal denomination has said, racism destroys God's likeness in every person, thus repudiates creation and its goodness. Or could it be the Tea Party phenomenon that has angered the Almighty? The Bible warns against following false prophets like Glenn Beck, which would describe the movement's leaders to a T. The movement was built on a foundation of lies about health care reform, including that it would institute death panels, that undocumented residents would be cared for, that abortions would be covered, that would lead to government takeover. Perhaps God's angry because Tea Party leaders duped their Christian followers into going against Christ's call to care for the sick and feed the hungry, to ignore teachings like this from Ezekiel 34, verses 3 to 4. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. God was mucho pissed off. And then there's the teabagger sin hypocrisy, which was summed up succinctly in a sign that read, "Don't steal from Medicare to support socialized medicine." Plus, there's the hypocrisy of elected officials like Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Tom Coburn, Oklahoma, Chuck Grassley, Iowa, Representative Michelle Bachmann, Virginia Fox, and the rest who enjoy the benefits of socialized government-run health plans but lied about reforms in order to deny access to healing to 45 million Americans. God is pissed. according to the Bible, these hypocrites are bound for hell, as detailed in Matthew 23, verses 27-28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Amen. It also has to be said that Southerners, especially those in the Deep South, are more guilty of the cardinal sin of gluttony than their fellow Americans. These modern-day Jeremiah's silence about God's wrath is also odd, since they have not hesitated to declare manifestations of God's wrath in other recent disasters. Just last month, Pastor Hagee ascribed the volcano eruption in Iceland as a manifestation of God's anger over a minor change in British policies about advertising tourism in Israel. Amen. We'll have that for you when we come back. I just need to share this with you folks tonight. Amen.
And every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
So we are investigating the possibility here in this segment of the program, the possibility that the Christian God is so pissed off, so enraged, has his cosmic bloomers in such a wad over what comes out of the white Christian evangelical South that he's just beating the crap out of this part of the country to make a point. Now, the reason you can come to that conclusion is because the mouthpieces for the Christian God are always talking about, well, the queers and the abortionists and the liberals and the ACLU and the feminists. Maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's because of these hypocrites. Back to what John Ponder has posited across the internet today. Just last month, Pastor Hagee ascribed the volcano eruption in Iceland as a manifestation of God's anger over a minor change in British policies about advertising tourism in Israel. The day after Britain's Advertising Standards Authority said the Western Wall in Jerusalem could not be used in Israeli tourism ads in Britain because it is considered occupied territory, Hagee said the volcano erupted, shutting down Britain's economy in one day. That's coincidence! Like the flood was a coincidence! That's coincidence like the Red Sea was coincidence! That's coincidence like the earthquake and the resurrection was coincidence. Hagee told about 3,200 people at Lancaster, PA Convention Center on Thursday night as part of the John Hagee Ministries Rally and Prophecy Seminar. No less a sinner than Rush Limbaugh. Gluttony, sloth, vainglory, pride, etc., etc. No less a sinner than Rush Limbaugh has declared that the volcano eruption was God's vengeance for the passage of health care reform in the United States. He said, you know, a couple of days after the health care bill had been signed into law, Obama ran around the country saying, hey, you know, I'm looking around, the earth hasn't opened up. There's no Armageddon out there. The birds are still chirping. I think the earth has opened up. God may have replied, this volcano in Iceland has grounded more airplanes than even after 9/11, because of this plume, because of this ash cloud over northern and western Europe. At the Paris airport, they're telling people to head to the train station to catch trains And when people get to the train station, you're telling people there aren't any seats left until at least April 22nd. I don't know whether it's a rebirth of Armageddon. Hopefully it's a rebirth. God speaking. In January, after the devastating earthquake in Haiti, Pat Robertson relayed a message from above, declaring that the quake was caused by a deal struck with Satan over 200 years ago by Haitian slaves seeking to overthrow the island's French colonial government. Remember that, truth seekers? A deal they assumedly made after Jesus turned down a chance to free the slaves. And speaking of Robertson, no recounting of attributions of God's wrath can go without mentioning his prophetic blunder 12 years ago, an act of hubris that ought to serve as an object lesson for those like Hagee, Franklin Graham, Limbaugh, Falwell, and Robertson himself, who commit the sin Jesus decried when he says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." What was it? In 1998, Robertson warned the residents of Orlando that God was sending a hurricane to wipe out their city. Not because of anything they had done, per se, but because private groups not associated with the city were holding annual Gay Day celebrations at nearby Disney World. But while Orlando went unsmited by storms that year, just a few months after Robertson warned of God's vengeance in Orange County, Hurricane Bonnie traveled up the East Coast, took aim at Robertson's own 700 Club compound at Virginia Beach, and swept right through. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Amen and amen. John Ponder. J-O-N-P-O-N-D-E-R, if you want to look him up. Good piece, John. And then there's this. Over at Raw Story, they put this out today, this afternoon. A Christian leader and prominent neuropsychiatrist who co-founded the Family Research Council with evangelist James Dobson took a 10-day European vacation with a call boy he met through rentboy.com. And he was caught in an airport with the escort by a Miami newspaper. The escort said he had met the prominent Christian, George Rekers, R-E-K-E-R-S, George Rekers, professor of neuropsychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of South Carolina, on rentboy.com. Rekers, when confronted, didn't deny that he'd met the call boy online, but said he had hired him to help him carry his baggage. And didn't learn he was generally hired for private company until midway through his European vacation. Rekers told the Miami New Times, "I had surgery and I can't lift luggage. That's why I hired him." The paper noted that it didn't stop him from pushing what the paper described as a tottering pile of luggage to the Miami International Airport. The call boy, identified by a pseudonym, told the New Times, Penn Bullock and Brandon Thorpe, that Rekers claimed that he didn't know his line of work seemed spurious. The call boy said, quote, "He should have been able to tell you that, but that's up to him." According to the writers, the slender 20-year-old escort's profile advertises his smooth, sweet, tight blank and perfectly built blank, blank, blank. I just can't say that on the air here. Wayne Besson, a prominent opponent of the ex-gay, so-called ex-gay movement, and director of the nonprofit Truth Wins Out, said, quote, "It is clear that the Rekers, Professor Rekers, has baggage and certainly needs help." Referring to South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, a conservative who claimed he was hiking when he'd actually been meeting with a mistress, Wayne Besson added, "At least he didn't say he was walking the Appalachian Trail." Besson added, "This is a bombshell that completely discredits the ex-gay industry and proves that the movement is a fraud." The paper printed emails exchanged between the professor and the escort, the call boy, prior to their trip. Rekers co-founded the conservative and anti-gay Family Research Council with Reverend James Dobson in 1983. Rekers wrote in a March 21 email obtained by New Times, quote, "I'd like to propose another trip to Rome, Italy for a week or more. This is so exciting to have a nice travel assistant and traveling companion. Wow, I'm so glad I met you." Wreckers allegedly remarked in a later email, I called and talked to the reservation guy in London and reserved a room with two twin beds. Wreckers is a prominent advocate against gays in Florida, where he lives. He testified against Florida allowing gay couples to adopt, and he asserted that children of gay couples, quote, living with a practicing homosexual in the adoptive home are especially vulnerable to psychological damage and an increasing inability to adapt, end quote. A commenter on a California Catholic daily, which reported the findings of Wrecker's investigations into gay adoption, remarked, quote, the active principle in these children's stress is the fact that their welfare comes in dead last in the homosexual lifestyle. It is oriented toward grooming them for traumatic early sexualization and exploitation by adults, end quote. The call boy told New Times that Wreckers is, quote, primarily a family man, end quote. The call boy said, you don't understand how much this guy honestly cares about taking care of kids. Wreckers, the author of Growing Up Straight, What Families Should Know About Homosexuality. So there you go.
Is he going to use the Larry Craig, just wiping something off my shoe?
Oh, he just hired the call boy to help him carry his luggage for a week.
His baggage or his package?
Well, I think they said baggage. I think they meant luggage.
The problem is, see, you know, Dobson should have just taken him in the shower and shown him his penis.
That's true.
Then he wouldn't have been gay.
Texas Governor Rick Perry claimed yesterday that the oil rig explosion that caused a massive and still expanding spill may have been just an act of God that could not have been prevented. God. God decided to just... You may be right, Governor Goodhair. You just may be right. But if you are right, it's because of the hypocrisy here in the evangelical South. Franklin Graham, Reverend, the evangelical minister who was, thank you, Jesus, disinvited from a Pentagon prayer service after concerns arose regarding his past offensive comments about Islam, is now accusing President Obama of, quote, giving Islam a pass. In an interview with Newsmax Television, Graham was asked if he thought there was a pattern of hostility to traditional Christianity by the Obama administration. Graham responded, I don't know if it's exactly from President Obama, but I'm certain that some of the men around him are very much opposed to what we stand for and what we believe. More from Franklin Graham in a minute.
You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. Pay no attention to the slanderous lies. I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad. So listen good, hear my battle cry down in Hollywood. I'm with the God Squad.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
I'm not your brother. I'm not your brother.
10 before the hour. So Franklin Graham, who is one of the most screwed up people on earth, at least in this part of the earth, who professes to be a man of God because he's terrified that his father Billy has condemned him to everlasting hellfire and damnation. Franklin Graham, who has gone after the Muslims, that's what Franklin Graham's ministry is all about, going after Muslims. Anyway, now he's accusing Barack Obama of giving the Muslims, in Graham's word, a pass. Graham was asked on Newsmax television, what the hell is that? Is that the little screens they put in outhouses or in bathrooms and gas stations so while you're taking care of business you can watch Newsmax television? I think so. He was asked on that putrid network, about mounting secular oppression in the United States. That's the other thing. Evangelical Christians are all paranoid. I mean, they're diagnosable, clinically paranoid. Secular oppression in the United States? Ruling after ruling says these crazy bastards can run rampant over over secular rights, over the separation of church and state. It doesn't matter anymore, and yet they still talk about secular oppression. Graham said on the Bathroom Television Network, "No question it's coming. I think when you preach that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, I think we're going to see one day people will say this is hate speech." Hate speech? The Reverend described his removal from the Pentagon prayer service program as a slap in the face at all evangelical Christians. Graham also expanded on the toilet TV program, his viewpoint on Islam. He said, quote, "I don't believe Muhammad can lead anybody to God. I love Muslim people and I care for them very much. And I want Muslims everywhere to know what I know, that Jesus Christ died for their sins." Just never stops, does it? Never stops. So I agree with John that in the fantasy world of evangelical Protestant Christianity, their demonic God is pissed. Thoroughly and completely. You know, you don't see all this happening in Wisconsin or Montana or Maine. You see it all happening here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. God is beating the hell out of everybody down here because he's tired. Tired, I tell you. Amen. He's tired of this. He's tired of Glenn Beck and Rick Goodhair Perry and Reverend Dobson and all these people who would demonize members of his creation, gay folk. He's tired of it. Well, if you read your Bible like I have, you understand that when God gets pissed off, the Christian, Judeo-Christian God gets pissed off, blood flows like water. The innocent are butchered as well as the guilty. There is no mercy, nothing. Plagues of locusts and blood and death and destruction cover the land. Because this Judeo-Christian God is one perverted deity. He doesn't care. He's not selective. I'll kill all of you. I'll kill your children and your babies in your bellies. This is a bad dude, I'm telling you. But the evangelical Christians know that. That's why they try to deflect his wrath onto gay folk or Muslims or eventually the Jews or liberals or Democrats or the ACLU or feminists. But guess what, boys? It's not working. You haven't prayed. You haven't done your imprecatory prayer hard enough to destroy gay people and liberal people and common sense people and atheist people and ACLU people and liberal people and progressive people and people who just want to live their damn lives free from your this sick, chained, murderous, violent, vicious religion of yours. And the Judeo-Christian God always said, hey, look, let me tell you something. Listen up. Here I am. I am here. All ye who know me, know me. Ye who don't, don't. You know, this God that these sick bastards profess to follow, he didn't say go out and conquer the world. He didn't say make everybody believe in me. He just left it pretty ambiguous, you know. Here I am. I am here. So anyway, I think their God has had enough, and he is furious. But being the crazed deity, all deities are crazy. I mean, all of them. They're arrogant, self-centered, murderous collections of wrong thinking. And because this particular God is so pissed off, a lot of people are going to die. A lot of people are going to drown. A lot of people are going to burn. Isn't that sad? At least in the minds of these evangelical Christians. Oh, John Ponder, you can get his that piece I shared with you at Pensito, P-E-N-S-I-T-O, PensitoReview.com. Pensito, P-E-N-S-I-T-O-Review.com. We'll be back after the break. Amen. The hour. This is the Molloy program. Hernan in Buenos Aires, Argentina writes, Mike, as we speak, the Argentinian Senate is passing a bill that will modify our civil code, allowing same-sex marriage in the entire country forever. From now on, here in Argentina, gay couples will be allowed to start a family with the exact same rights as non-gay families. Adopt children, give them their last name, and most important of all, they will be as equal as the so wrongly called, quote, normal people, end quote. I'm really proud to live in this so-called third world country. Wouldn't you be? Hernan. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Let me make something clear here. Right after this. Karen sent this to me. Alan Combs, Facebook page this tonight. Mark Cooper in the LA Times make the case that the replacement for Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens should be an atheist. Though the court without Stevens will be left with six Catholics and two Jews, the open seat should not go to either domination, nor should it go to a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, a Methodist, a Muslim, or even a Zoroastrian. If it did, that would make nine people who all have one religious principle in common, a belief in religion. Clearly, the next person to take the bench should be an atheist. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that makes sense. The wrath, the anger, the rage that I feel against these religious bastards has very little to do with the Christian Bible or the Muslim Quran or. The holy texts of the Jews or even the Hindus. I mean, I've often said to myself in my private moments, you know, maybe this religious nonsense might have an element of truth to it. There may be some sort of fantastical consciousness after death. And, you know, I certainly concede that to myself. I mean, I don't get into religious debates with anybody. I stopped that decades ago. But the thing that the thing that infuriates me is this hypocrisy. I do understand and can identify and bear witness to the kind of filthy, disgusting hypocrisy that almost every single evangelical preacher coats himself in or herself in. They wear it proudly. They wear their contempt and their hatred and their disgust proudly. And, you know, I've told you before, I was brought up in a Baptist and Methodist upbringing. And none of these Jesus freaks can out-Bible me. They just can't do it. And, you know, I understand what the Bible says. And now, by the Bible, I refer the New Testament to the Christian Bible. You know, the Christians just stole outright from the Jews what the Christians now call the Old Testament. But having been forced to immerse myself as a kid and a teenager in Bible stuff, not anymore any other kid that grew up in my neighborhood. Luckily, I belonged to the cult of Protestantism at the time, whereas the cult of the Catholic Church surrounded me. There was the cult of Judaism nearby, but the cult of the Catholic Church was what, you know, washed across our neighborhood. And as a result of that, you know, I understand what the Bible taught, because before this crazy evangelicalism, this crazy dominionist philosophy, this crazy end times horse crap, completely demolished Christianity, American Christianity. I'm not talking about historical Christianity that was bloody and hate-filled and destructive and murderous and genocidal. Oh, see, you can't even have a discussion about this. Even with yourself, which is what I'm doing right now. but I understood the Christian precepts of redemption and love and you know, Christ's love and you know, take care of the sick, visit those in prison, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty. And as a kid growing up, I saw very little of that. What I saw was quite the opposite. I saw people who professed to be Christians to be some of the most degenerate, lying sons of bitches on the face of the earth, and hypocritical. And their out is, as long as they're conscious, now the Catholics even go one step further, but the Protestants, as long as they're conscious, right before they suck in that last gasp of morphine-laced air and step off this earthly coil, they can say, "Oh, forgive me, Jesus, I didn't mean it." And that's your ticket to heaven. Now, the Catholics have that beat. As long as there's a priest nearby or somebody who can give last rites, you know, you can be already dead. The priest can step up and say, "Hamana, hamana, hamana," and off you go. So, you know, just understand, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and occasionally you turn to the show and you hear this stuff and you go, "Oh, my God." I'm not trying to piss you off. I really am not. And like I say, I'll even concede to myself, not to anybody else, because I'm not in this for a debate, that, you know, there may be some sort of cosmic truth that is so far beyond my ability to comprehend that would render my insignificance even more insignificant. And if that's the case, so be it. But in the meantime, you know, I live here and now. And I see this garbage, this filth, these lies, this deceit, this hypocrisy, this murderous attitude towards other people, and it makes me ill. So, I just had to do that tonight. You know, all of a sudden I got these, you know, all these stories about these Christian freaks in this country, American Christian freaks. We started the program with an email from Sarah and Aaron, who wanted to know about the gusher in the Gulf, whether water's soluble. And my answer, my non-scientific answer, is water and oil are not soluble. And I asked for some response. I got a couple here. Prairie 2 writes, the oil gushing into the Gulf is light, sweet crude, meaning its tar content is relatively low. And the gasoline, toluene, acetone, and on will evaporate. The dispersing agents are intended to break the tar down and release the volatile elements, spread the rest of the oil around, and the tar becomes heavier and settles to the sea floor instead of washing up right away. Bacteria in the warm water will break it all down eventually, decades, Wait for the storm surge to provide you with a new blacktop road at water's edge from the settled out tar. The danger from these things evaporating are at a distance, not a significant threat compared to what we are already pumping into the air. Up close, it's another matter. Michael and Roswell wrote, Mike, I think your emailers are asking about the dispersant, which is chemically something like a surfactant, which binds oil and water together. Ordinarily, yes, oil and water can be emulsified, finally dispersed in a solution, but are not soluble with each other. BP refuses to name the constituents of the dispersant that they're using, but one common ingredient is an oxybutylethanol, which can cause health problems. That's probably what your emailers are concerned about. So to Sarah and Aaron, I hope that answers it. Mike, I hope that your reluctancy to talk about the Gulf of Mexico oil flow will not stop you from researching this issue. We need to get your listeners to start seriously thinking about what will happen if they can't stop this constant flow of oil into the Gulf. Funny thing, I actually heard two callers on two separate radio talk shows mention your name while discussing this disaster, so apparently what you talked about on last night's program resonated with a few people, and that's the problem. We are not being told the whole story by our corporate media. Surprise, surprise. They are totally underplaying this story. In fact, it already got bumped from top headlines by some terrorist in New York with another really badly botched bomb job. And I'm sure we can expect more diversion stories from our corporate media, just so we don't think about what is really going on in the Gulf and how it could actually affect all of us negatively. More from this emailer when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to this email from Tony in Maine about the oil gusher that is releasing hell into the Gulf of Mexico. He said, this is why we need you to keep pounding this point. We need to start contacting our representatives, putting more and more pressure on the government to step in and plug this damn well soon, very soon, before the worst case scenario takes place. And by this time next year, we will be talking about the total evacuation of citizens who live along the Gulf Coast from Florida to Texas. I'm not sure why this story is being underplayed. Perhaps they don't want to start a panic, but we are only in the first inning of this story, and it's very possible for them to act before that wellhead gives out. But we need to put the pressure on them to do so. We need to be told the real story so it will wake people up. Tony in Maine. This press release from Annie Day Media. The explosion of the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform that killed 11 workers on April 20 threatens to become a massive and perhaps unparalleled environmental disaster. Current estimates are that 200,000 gallons a day are gushing out of the seafloor 1 mile beneath the surface. The spill endangers fragile marshes, ponds, creeks, lakes, wetlands, making up 40% of U.S. total wetlands. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries estimate that at least 400 species, from shrimp to pelicans to river otters, could be impacted by the oil. This is a capitalist oil spill. The Gulf of Mexico has been turned into a vast laboratory for deepwater oil drilling to serve capitalism's relentless drive for profit and strategic control of energy resources. Official U.S. government policy has encouraged this and has refused to require use of the most advanced technology to stop disasters like this. The inconvenient truth is that this oil leak could have been prevented, but it is cost-effective for companies like BP to scrimp on safety and environmental protection measures and equipment. The capitalist system depends on highly profitable and environmentally destructive fossil fuels. Remember, the Obama administration just a month ago proposed massively expanding offshore U.S. drilling. Well, President Obama himself offered this assurance, quote, oil rigs today generally don't cause spills, end quote. And this comes after the deliberate failure, engineered mainly by the United States, of the December 2009 Copenhagen climate talks to take any meaningful action to stop global warming. This is outrageous and immoral. What is happening in the Gulf points to the reality that the capitalist system is unable and unwilling to protect the planet and the people. Yeah. That's very true. As I've said on this program for years, capitalism is a death system. It is destructive. It is anti-family. It is anti-life. It is anti-child. It is anti-working person. It is anti-every goddamn thing. It is a filthy, degenerate system that has gotten to the point where it's going to crush every single bit of life on this planet. Absolutely end it. No? You don't think so? Tell me how it's not going to happen. It's pretty bad. Okay. By the way, did you hear that John Boehner, this filthy piece of human waste who is the House Minority Leader, and Senator Mary Landrieu, the first being Republican, the second being a Democrat. And this is how disgusting and sick this whole thing has become. Both of them. Think Progress has a story of a couple, these two, who still seem in denial of this unfolding disaster. Roll Call reports that yesterday Boehner said, quote, the tragedy should remind us that America needs the Republicans' pro-drilling energy plan. That's what we're supposed to be reminded by this horror that's going on in the Gulf. Here's what he said. He didn't say this. I'll get to the quote. This is what Roll Call reported. House Republican leaders are once again sounding the drumbeat for passage of their sidelined pro-drilling energy reform package, even as state and federal officials scramble to stem a massive Gulf oil spill. John Boehner said Monday in a statement, this tragedy should remind us that America needs a real comprehensive energy plan, like Republicans' all-of-the-above strategy. Wait to hear what Mary Landrieu said. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
7:25 before the hour. So John Boehner, the House Minority Leader, and Mary Landrieu, Senator from a Democratic Senator from Louisiana, both are saying that the drilling has got to go on, even more of it. Boehner is referring to his all-of-the-above strategy is the Republican proposal, which was first rolled out in the summer of 2008, and has been brought up several times since then. And it would, among other things, open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and lift the moratorium on drilling on the Outer Continental Shelf, which is on the East Coast, I believe. And meanwhile, Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, referred to as perhaps the oil industry's best friend in the Democratic Party, is using the tragedy to call for what she refers to as accelerated oil revenue sharing from the feds and a demand that, quote, we not retreat from further drilling. She has called on her colleagues to not retreat from plans for more drilling once the BP investigation is complete. You crazy psychopath. Once the investigation is complete, what about once your state becomes unlivable? Damn these people. I mean, seriously. Hours. That's what it took, according to New York's police commissioner. 53 hours from the time this Glenn Beck follower from Pakistan, well, actually he's an American citizen now, from the time he attempted to set off his little cherry bombs inside the car to ignite everything else. 53 hours from that moment till they snatched him off a jet heading for the United Arab Emirates. 53 hours. You notice all the silence from these right-wing pigs? Now, I don't know if there's a lot of silence because I don't listen to the garbage on radio, talk radio. 53 hours. Every single terrorist that has done damage in this country has been captured if there's been a Democrat in office. The first attack on the trade towers, the so-called blind sheikh, the Egyptian who is now serving 10 years to eternity or life to eternity in a supermax prison. How long did it take to grab Timothy McVeigh and send his ass on to hell? The guy that did the bombing down here in Georgia during the Olympics, it took 5 years to catch that slick son of a bitch, but he was wandering around the North Carolina mountains. You can get lost in those mountains forever. Who else? The shoe bomber, the underpants bomber. I mean, all of these people have been immediately or within a reasonable period of time caught, read their rights, tried, convicted, and either executed or jailed. And now this poor misguided 30-year-old who had too much religious garbage filling his head or listened to too much Glenn Beck once he got to the United States, now he is going to spend the rest of his life in the slam. And these filthy right-wing, and McCain, John McCain, you know, I've said before, McCain was a military, he's the worst kind of military. He was a coward. He killed people from 30,000 feet up in the air or 10,000 feet up the air. He was an absolute cowardly twit whose father happened to be the Supreme Allied Commander in the Pacific during the murder in Vietnam, the mass murder, the genocide, and the deaths of almost 60,000 of our own people. But McCain was an absolute coward. And now, McCain is calling for destruction of the very Constitution that when he took an oath as an officer, he swore to uphold. McCain stinks. He is pure human filth. He's got another piece of human waste running against him in Arizona. This J.D. Hayworth pig. Oh my God! What a vampire this guy is, huh? Have you seen pictures of him? Holy jumping Jesus! And poor McCain. Poor, cowardly, stinking John McCain. What did he say today that, reading this guy his constitutional rights. Where is it? Here it is. This is from Crooks and Liars. According to President in His Own Mind McCain, Faisal Shahzad should not have been read his Miranda rights despite his standing as U.S. citizen. According to The Hill, McCain, the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee and longtime leading Republican on national security issues, said he expected the suspect in this case could face charges that might warrant a death sentence if convicted. McCain said during an appearance on Imus in the Morning, oh my God, when he was asked whether the suspect, 30-year-old Faisal Shahzad, a naturalized American citizen from Pakistan, McCain said, obviously, reading his rights would be a serious mistake, at least until we find out as much information we have. That's a direct quote. McCain added, don't give this guy his Miranda rights until we find out what it's all about. So it comes down to this. Republicans say that suspects like Abdul Muttalib, the Detroit underwear bomber, and Shahzad, the SUV bomber, should be classified as an enemy combatant, which gives authorities more leeway in torturing them and beating whatever out of them that they want to beat out of them. The Arizona Republican, that would be McCain, however, said he expected the criminal justice system to play itself out in such a way that Shahzad would face the death penalty if convicted. And what McCain, this filthy, cowardly little piglet, if this thing were conducted his way, any conviction of Faisal Shahzad would be thrown out. Any conviction would be thrown out if he's tried in a civilian court, which is where he should be tried. Just like Timothy McVeigh was. These Republicans are skunks. The problem with McCain's twisted logic, this guy who tried to blow up Times Square is a United States citizen. Unless we've declared war on ourselves, it would be a bit difficult to have him classified as an enemy combatant. And even more fundamentally, The Hill says, where does that line fall? Should any U.S. citizen arrested for what appears to be an act of violence against another person be stripped of his or her constitutional rights? If McCain dreams of a day where this guy is executed because he tried and failed to turn a Nissan Pathfinder into a supercharged Molotov cocktail, he ought to be demanding that his Miranda rights be read to him immediately on videotape in order to survive any and all challenges to his arrest on constitutional grounds. What is wrong with these filthy goddamn Republicans? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. Not one of them respects the Constitution. You see these filthy half-animal teabaggers wandering around holding up copies of the Constitution as if they respected it or knew what it said? Please. McCain and these bagger freaks and this soon-to-commit-suicide Glenn Beck make a lot of noise about, oh, we got to get back to constitutional fundamentals. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to go back to the Constitution. Yeah, I should. They don't have a clue about what those fundamentals are. Yeah, we ought to get back to I love my Constitution. Barack Obama was born in Kenya. He's not even a citizen. 53 hours to capture this guy. And the one that committed acts of terror, if you want to believe the official story, against the United States during the Bush-Cheney era, where is he at? What is it, 9 years now? 9 years? Where's Osama bin Laden? Huh? The Clinton administration got the first World Trade Center bomber. That didn't take very long, did it? And every single one of these terrorists that have operated in the United States during the time when a Democrat was in office, every single one of them was captured, tried, convicted, sentenced, shot, hanged, whatever. Executed, is what I'm trying to say there. Or jailed for the rest of their lives. You filthy Republicans, you make me want to throw up blood.
So you don't have to. It's more Mike Malone.
It is 10 before the hour. So now there's all kinds of debate about whether or not it was correct to read this 30-year-old Pakistani-American his rights. I just wonder sometimes what these filthy Republicans think about. You know, they on the one hand they scream about the Constitution. What they're really trying to say is, he's a black man. I'm sure there'll be more on this. 53 hours. Keep that in mind. Bush and Cheney, like O.J. Simpson, are still looking for the culprits. We talked last night. As a matter of fact, I shared with you a piece written by an engineer. We had a lot of requests for that today about the absolute maximum potential for disaster that this gusher. It's not an oil spill, truth seekers. This is a gusher that's a mile under the surface of the ocean. It's a gusher. It's like in the movies, you know. It's not a spill. The loop current, that's the part of the Gulf Stream that goes north from the coast of Mexico up along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, down the west coast of Florida, around through the Straits of Florida and up the east coast. It's why people can live in the British Isles. And even though they're on the same latitude as what? Nova Scotia and still have four seasons. It's because of the Gulf Stream. And it's referred to as the loop current as it goes around. If it comes out of the Gulf, goes around through the Straits of Florida and up the east coast of the United States. Robert Weisberg, an oceanographer at University of South Florida, who has been modeling the movement of this oil spill, says, quote, filaments of the loop current are within a few tens of kilometers of the oil spill. Once the current catches the spill, he said, the speed of the current is such that it only takes a week before oil will be at entrance of the Florida Straits and another week until it gets as far as Miami. Whether the oil gets into the Florida Bay or the Everglades depends on what local winds are doing when the oil is flowing past. Weisberg said he could not predict the actual timing, quote, but it appears to be imminent, end quote, he said. Quote, it looks like it is going to happen sooner rather than later. The loop current moves very fast, end quote. Now, this is in the LA Times. As for the oil's trajectory, he said, quote, whatever comes will flow west of Dry Tortugas and toward Cuba before it comes back north, end quote. For the oil to get into the vicinity of shallow water in the Florida Bay, Weisberg said the current, quote, would have to take oil would have to take oil into passes from south to north. It is difficult to get a lot of oil into the Florida Bay, end quote. Elaborating on the nature of the loop current, Weisberg explained, quote, the loop current is always there. The question is how far north it extends. The current extends further north into the Gulf until it sheds an eddy. A piece breaks off and moves west. The rest shifts to the south. That process of moving north and eddy shedding repeats itself. It happens every 8 to 16 months. Right now, it is in the process of moving north. Weisberg said that if the oil remains in deep water, quote, there is not an immediate threat to the western coast of Florida, end quote. But he added, quote, the longer the oil leaks, the more it gets in shallow water along the northern coast, and it makes its way south, closer to shore, the more there is danger. Fortunately, he said, we are coming out of a strong wind season and going to a weaker wind season. As for Miami's beaches, he said, whether oil makes landfall anywhere depends on what the winds are doing at that point in time. It is likely there could be oil on beaches in Miami. That was in the LA Times today. The New York Times yesterday. No one, not even the oil industry's most fervent apologists, is making light of this accident. The contaminated area of the Gulf continues to spread, and oil has been found in some of the fragile marshes at the tip of Louisiana. The beaches and coral reefs of the Florida Keys could be hit if the slick is captured by the Gulf's clockwise loop current. But on Monday, the wind was pushing the slick in the opposite direction, away from the current. The worst effects of the spill have yet to be felt, and if efforts to contain the oil are even partly successful and the weather cooperates, the worst could be avoided. Now, that's the way the New York Times reports it. And in today's Washington Post, the initial piece that the Post had posted earlier today appears to have been taken down, but I can give you a paraphrase. To wit, the industry hasn't made any comment on the Gulf loop current issue, so there's nothing we can say about that at this time. I swear to God, that's what the Washington Post said. This comes from LHM. So the LA Times is quoting a scientist or an engineer, oceanographer who very categorically says if this stuff gets into the loop current, that's what we were talking about the other night. If it does get into the loop current, it's going to pollute the beaches of England, Scotland. Think about that. We'll be back after the break.
It's hard to know when to lock in your rate, but there's no need to worry with the 2-year Raise Your Rate CD from Ally Bank. If rates go up, you have the opportunity of a one-time rate increase, and with an interest rate that's among the most competitive.
Sound.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. So, this argument on whether to Mirandize or Mirandaize or however you want to say it to give this bomber suspect, Shahzad, Faisal Shahzad, an American citizen, whether or not he should be read his Miranda rights when he was arrested. And, of course, McCain and most Republicans saying, no, no, no! I think it goes to show how the Republican Party has become a party of totalitarianism, of dictatorship, of torture, murder, mayhem, targeted assassination. Of course, Obama authorized that too, didn't he? Huh? But I think it shows the extent to which the Republican Party has become a nest of complete psychopaths. On the one hand, their talk, everything they say is a complete inversion of the truth. It always, not always has been, but it certainly has been for the past 20 years, a complete inversion. If it's white, they'll call it black. If it's up, they'll call it down. And it's not because they're trying to be contrary. It's because they are morons. They actually believe up is down and white is black and left is right. They believe that because their minds have been so scrambled by this conservative Republican ideology, which makes absolutely no sense. We are experiencing right-wing Republican, let's not even call it right-wing anymore. We're experiencing Republican ideology now, right now, in its most grotesque and advocated form. Predatory capitalism, that is a Republican system of, it's an organizing principle of the Republican Party. Always has been, always will be. But it's gotten so bad. So you have an entire political party made up of God knows what anymore. I have no idea who Republicans are, except they hate America. They hate children. They hate the unemployed. Unless it's themselves. If it's themselves, then they shift that hate to the Negro in the White House. He's from Kenya! And he wants to take Acorn and a whole boat full of queers to go out and blow up an oil rig. Sick, sick bastards. The whole argument, do we Mirandize somebody? If he is an American, New York's Peter King, ranking Republican in the House Homeland Security Committee, said, did they Mirandize him? I know he's an American citizen, but still. What does but still mean? That's what my five-year-old daughter says. Well, Mommy, I don't want to eat my green beans. Well, you have to if you want dessert. But still, This is a Republican member of the House. The ranking Republican. Did they Mirandize him? I know he's an American citizen, but still. American Enterprise Institute, Mac Thiessen. Also sided with freaks like King and McCain. Thiessen, whatever the hell his name is, says that finding out whether Shahzad knows about any other planned attacks trumps everything else. No, this is not a goddamn television program, you moron. This is not 24, although Republicans love to think it is, don't they? Mark Thiessen said the only reason to read Shahzad his Miranda rights would be to preserve what he says as evidence in his criminal trial. No, the only reason was because he's an American citizen, you freak bastard. How about you, Mark Thiessen? Supposing they didn't want to read you your Miranda rights, you'd be peeing all over your jail cell, wouldn't you? He went on to say, our first priority should not be preserving evidence for his trial. It should be getting intelligence from him. Oh, I see. Now, this is all aside from the fact that this guy spilled his guts as soon as he was arrested. He's still talking, as far as we know. Thiessen also blasted the Obama administration's handling of the so-called underpants bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, charged with blowing up that airliner over Detroit. Thiessen said, one would think that the administration would have learned its lesson and held off on reflexively reading this terrorist his Miranda rights. Oh, my God. This would be the first guy to say that you know how quickly they say this terrorist. If it were somebody, some right-winger, like Timothy McVeigh or this group of crazy people in the Midwest, did you hear about that? Where is that article? Remember those people, what were they called, Kathy? The whole group of crazy-looking militia types, they all look like they were all brothers and sisters and their own parents, you know? They look like the purest example of inbreeding. Where is that story? Damn it. Anyway, a judge has released all of them. Let them out on bond. Huh?
You're talking about PNAC?
No. Those people that were busted, we did the story last week. Where is that? Or a couple of weeks ago. Oh, here it is. A judge ordered on Monday, yesterday, that the 9 jailed members of a Michigan militia be released, saying there's no risk to the public if they go home while awaiting trial on charges of trying to plot war against the government. Jesus, God! The Huttery militia gang who wanted to kill, maim, and murder. Now the judge says, well, kids will be kids. You know, there's no law against talking crap. They weren't really going to kill cops. No, let's, their defense lawyers say it's just a case of irrational, hateful speech. Oh, okay. This is a group that stated categorically, these Huttery, inbred, thumb-sucking freaks, that they planned to kill police officers. They were charged with a conspiracy to commit sedition and attempted use of weapons of mass destruction. What has the guy who was busted for the Times Square thing, what's he been charged with? Attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction. Son of a bitch, which one is in jail tonight and which ones are free? Where are these right-wing pigs where it concerns these Huttery types, huh? Of course, they have names like John Jones and Ralph Smith. They don't have a name like Mutallab. David Stone. The judge who released them said prosecutors failed to rebut the defendant's position that the only live fire training amounted to shooting at dirt mounds on private property twice a year. Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Well, okay. Let's release them. Huh? Where is John McCain about this group? Where is Mark Thiessen about this group? Where is Peter King about this group? Ya phony bastards.
Get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boys. Better watch what you say. We've rammed in your harbor and tied to your port. And our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the port. Of the world, boss.
the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour from Roz in Canada. Mike, while your 9 o'clock news break was on, I watched a bit of Anderson Cooper. He had Michael Brown. Remember him? Former head of FEMA. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. He had Michael Brown on, and Brown was saying that Obama deliberately took his time doing something about the oil spill because he really wants to do away with offshore drilling altogether. Michael Brown called it a conspiracy theory. I think these people are trying to discredit the government and force the continuation of the offshore drilling projects. Maybe they think people will really believe that the oil spill could have been stopped by Obama. They never give up, Roz. No, they don't. You live just north of the northernmost wall of a massive asylum, Roz. Filled with 330 million of us, a huge percentage of which is crazy. Completely blubbering crazy. Let's do some phone calls. Blue, the jet pilot, is in Kowloon, Hong Kong. Hey. Hey, Blue.
Yeah, good day, Mike.
How are you?
Well, I'm pretty well. I'm glad to hear everything came out with the operation and so on.
Oh, yeah, it worked just fine. Thank you very much.
Look, to start with, I don't know a single professional pilot who believes for a moment the story of the official story of September 11th, who believes for a moment that the aircraft could possibly have knocked the buildings down or even contributed materially to knocking the airplanes down.
Right.
As far as the rest of us in the world are concerned, it's a way of keeping you people in line, of, rolling back your constitution and all the rest of it, justifying the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as far as the rest of us are concerned, there's really not a whole lot to choose between Bush and Obama. And so every few months since 9/11, we've seen them come up with some bumbling fool like this poor Drongo they arrested today or yesterday, who hasn't the slightest idea what he's doing, who has some vague connection that they've probably established for him with some group in Pakistan or Afghanistan.
No, wait, no, wait. So you think this guy is just a patsy? He's totally innocent and has no, even though. There are all sorts of clues, and granted, clues can be very easily planted, but I take it your position, Blue, is that the whole thing is a setup with this guy today.
Well, if you look back, there's been a series of these, 8 or 10 of them, since September 11th of 2001. In every case, it turns out the FBI has practically begged these guys to do something. They provided them either with weapons that were completely false.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There have been several of those cases.
Weapons that don't
right.
work at all.
Right.
I mean, the guy with the underpants, I mean, the bomb, it was Semtex. It would never have gone off with matches. And any professional terrorist would have known that.
Right.
And so here's this guy. He's got a bomb in a car, and there's smoke coming out of it, and somebody conveniently sees it.
Right.
They seize the thing, and it turns out it would never have gone off in the first place.
Well, doesn't that speak to the inefficiency, I hate to use that word, the inefficiency of a 30-year-old would-be terrorist who goes to Pakistan, gets a little bit of training, comes back and says, well, let's see, I guess I put some fertilizer in here.
I don't think so. It speaks to the idea that they're going out recruiting these people in order to keep everybody in line. They've got to give them a sort of a booster shot every few months when they think they're forgetting about 9/11.
Well, see, I believed that during the Bush years, every time they had the color-coded terror alerts and John Ashcroft would get on the television from Moscow and warn the American people that they had foiled another plot. But they were using terror. Now, I'm not saying that the Obama administration or people that work within or aside or control the Obama administration don't have the same mindset. I'm not saying that at all. But I just can't, at this point, you may be right, Blue, but at this point, I cannot believe that these incidents like the shoe bomber and this guy today was a CIA, FBI plot to keep the American people wandering around mewling like a bunch of newborn kittens.
If you accept what most of us in the rest of the world, outside of what George Galloway, the Scottish MP, calls the bubble, which means the United States,
right?
If you accept what most of us believe, and if you've read, for example, Robin Cook's book, you know, the former Secretary of Foreign Secretary of the UK,
right?
Who said, look, the whole thing is the creation of the CIA. Al-Qaeda, the whole business.
Right,
and he should know.
Yeah,
I'm
familiar with that, with that idea.
Most of us see absolutely no difference between Obama and Bush. I mean, the wars continue, the domestic spying's continuing, your CIA bloke said that. They've still got the secret prisons. I mean, the guy is continuing all of these policies, and so why should they not continue to find these blokes, you know, that have no clue what they're doing?
Right, right. Well, you make a good case. You make a case a lot of people listen to this program make, and one that I don't necessarily completely disagree with. But, Blue, I've got to leave it there. We have to do some break, a commercial break here. Thanks, Blue. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll be right back.
This old town's filled with sin. It'll swallow.
Are you burdened?
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory, the people would sing. Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
25 before the hour. I get what Blue was saying, and I don't know what the way I rave and rant about the controlling elite in this country and predatory capitalism and how nobody gives a tinker's damn. I guess it sounds sort of foolish to me sometimes to say, well, no, Blue or whoever, I don't believe that all of these events are engineered. I guess that does sound naive or foolish to people, especially people who don't live in this country. But that's the position I sort of take at this time. I don't think that the guy, the so-called underwear bomber, or this guy the other night in Times Square, I don't think that these are CIA plants. But on the other hand, we talk and talk and talk on this program, or I haven't lately, about the 9/11 attack, how 19 people were able to come to this country, defeat an entire military-industrial establishment with box cutters, and use the airplanes as missiles. But, you know, my feeling about that 9/11, I believe there were actually, that those were people intent on committing mayhem in this country. But what I believe is it was engineered in a sense by the Cheney administration. They let it happen. They knew full well what was going on, and they could have stopped it and chose not to. I don't mean to suggest, I don't think I have, maybe I have over the past 9 years, I don't know. I don't think I've suggested that, you know, the airplanes were taken over by some sort of external control and flown into buildings, and there were no 19 bombers. I don't know anymore. But that's pretty much what I believe, that the Bush administration let that happen. They could have stopped it. But as far as this guy that was busted the other night and The Underwear Bomber and Timothy McVeigh. Was Timothy McVeigh a plant? Was he an operative for the CIA? Who was the guy that blew up the set the bomb off here at the Olympics? Eric Rudolph, was he a plant? I mean, we only see these guys as being possible CIA operatives if they're Muslims or Arabs, and I think that's a bit naive. I really do. If we are putting people out there, why would it just be Muslims or Arabs or people with odd sounding to American ears last names? I mean, other than the 9/11 bombing, the biggest act of terror in this country since the War of 1812 was Timothy McVeigh. Nobody talked about Mirandizing him. Nobody talked about he was a CIA plant. Nobody suggested that he really secretly worked for the FBI. And if he did or he was, boy, what a fool, because he's now dead. And the Egyptian sheikh that made the first attempt to blow up the Trade Center, was he a CIA operative? As far as we know, no, he wasn't. Now, granted, this bumbling, stumbling, Keystone Cops-like FBI has attempted, like the Liberty City 7 or whatever. Remember the guys down in Liberty City, Miami? How long ago? A couple 3 years ago? And all they really wanted was new shoes or new boots or something. And the FBI had them set up. They were going to go up and blow up the Sears building in Chicago. Hey, you boys want to blow up the Sears building? Yeah, what do we got to do to do? What do we get for doing that? We'll give you new shoes. Oh, yeah, we'll blow up the building. Why? What's up? You know, I mean, that kind of nonsense is nonsense. And that's the problem here. You have a bunch of Keystone Cops types, like apparently works for the FBI and certainly the CIA, in addition to being competent murderers and killers, they're also dumbasses to a large extent. Come on, you know they are. You have them setting up these innocent, stupid people, Americans. Of course, you know, again, this is during the Bush years, but comparing that to a guy who gets on a plane in where did the underwear bomber get on the plane? In the UAE? Qatar? I forget. Doesn't matter. And because he's an idiot and incompetent, he attempts to set off a bomb by lighting it with a match. This guy the other night tries to set off a bomb with firecrackers. I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's not the result of an FBI plot. That's the result of stupid Muslim terrorists who get these half-wits and say, look, here's what I want you to do. I don't know. My head hurts. I get sick of thinking about it. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
My head hurts a little bit, too.
Jesus, man.
I told Kathy earlier at the alliteration night here, I got McCain, I got Miranda, I got Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was appropriate to bring up McCain, the war criminal, on this day.
Okay.
Black Day.
Yeah.
Even 40 years later, it's still a Black Day when guardsmen shoot unarmed students.
Sure.
On a campus.
Sure. Absolutely.
Miranda. How long have we had Miranda? I was trying to think, and you know, don't send me the emails, but it was late 60s, early 70s.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
The Miranda Law?
Wasn't that Carmen Miranda had to do with Bob Hope and Big? No, I'm just kidding. The Miranda
no,
rights.
No fruit headgear.
Yeah,
no.
I think it was in the 60s. Yeah, it was in the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A guy who, you know, took the case to the Supreme Court. He wasn't, read his rights. And I think it was, the Warren Court, wasn't it? The Earl Warren was the Chief Justice at the time.
Very late stages, perhaps. It's been so long. Anyway, from that point, the right has attacked Miranda. At every chance they get.
Oh, sure. Unless it's
every
them.
Every chance they get.
Unless it's them.
Yeah, right.
Why didn't they attack Miranda where it concerned Timothy McVeigh?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And to Blue's point, I hear him, but the one sticking question that I have about the whole 9/11 thing is, you know, why was NORAD told to stand down? Why weren't fighters just buzzing all these planes?
Right.
That was,
well,
that
you
was
know,
pretty
my,
incredible.
My answer to that is this was an order by the Bush crime family to step back and let whatever was going to happen happen. So
yeah.
that they could then go ahead with their with the damage that they wreaked on this country over the next 8 years.
I mean, with their madness.
Yeah, I don't have any problem in believing that the Bush crime family set us up for that and then allowed it to happen. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah.
But I do not believe that those 19 bombers were all CIA operatives or that they didn't exist or whatever. I mean, sure they existed. Were they duped into it? Well, apparently so. In one way or another, they were led to believe that they could pull off an act like this against the United States, and they succeeded. Of course, it instantly killed all of them, too. I realize those pictures have surfaced. Those are not the people that died, obviously. But but as far as 9/11 is concerned, I think that the Bush crime family let it happen. So.
Yep.
That's my attitude. All right, thanks, Steve. I appreciate you checking in. Tony writes, you should listen more to what Blue has to say, especially coming from a person who doesn't live here. It doesn't have to be barraged with the crap we get 24 hours a day passing his news. And don't forget that even though Bush, Cheney are gone, that doesn't mean that they still don't have people in the Pentagon, FBI, and CIA. Isn't it strange that these so-called terrorists can't even light a bomb? I think if you train Molly, she could defuse a bomb. Tony. I cannot for the life of me see a conspiracy or a plot in every single thing that happens in this sad, dying country. I just can't. I'm not denying that there's a lot of chicanery that goes on, a lot of duplicity, a lot of evil behind the scenes manipulation, but I feel that most of that comes from corporate media, not necessarily from these morons in the FBI and the CIA. We'll be right back. Before the hour, Elaine is in Helsinki, Finland. Hey, Elaine.
Hi, Mike. How are you? I know it's been ages since we've talked.
It has been.
Yeah. I wish your show didn't come on at 4 a.m. But anyway. But the good news is that I've upgraded the podcast for another year, and I hope that everyone out there who hasn't signed up will sign up eventually.
Thank you. I mispronounced your name again, too. It's Elan, right?
Yeah, it's Elan. That's okay.
Elan, that's right. I'm sorry. So how is the latest American bomber story being received in Helsinki?
Well, you know, it's getting a lot of play on BBC World. It's been on the Finnish TV news and in the newspapers, but I don't know, the look from here is that it's an amateur hour.
How about the BP oil the catastrophe that's unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, yes. Getting tons of coverage on BBC World, CNN International, and, of course, here in the Finnish press as well. Mike, it's a disaster. I mean, the Gulf is destroyed. I can't believe that we have that we're not talking about the fact that it's gone. It's gone. I mean, there's 200,000 gallons of oil, and God only knows how much there's going to be. And it's just become one big, you know, mass grave of death. And that water is going to spread everywhere. And I didn't even think about the fact that it could hit the current and come up towards our way.
Right. It certainly could. I'm not sure where the Gulf Stream goes once it goes along the coast of the British Isles, but I would imagine at some point it links with the North Sea, and the next thing you know, Norway, Sweden, Finland, oops.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you know, of course, the with all the fresh water that's been, that you know, with the ice melt, which has affected the, you know, the salt,
mm-hmm.
which is key to, you know, keeping us warm.
Right.
But I mean, you know, we're one volcanic eruption away up here from permanent winter. And, you know, it just seems like so much is happening at the moment. I mean, yes, we live in a 24/7 news cycle and, everything is being magnified, but this disaster, as you know, your discussion with Mike Papantonio the other day was really amazing. And there hasn't been much mention at all about this safety valve issue that's on every rig around the world except in the United States, and I can't figure out why.
Somebody told me that the Rachel Maddow program on MSNBC here got into that, and some other program. I don't know if it was Keith Olbermann's show, also on MSNBC. I'm not sure, but you're right in that there has been very little coverage of the fact that this was not an accident. This was not a mistake, unless you consider that drilling in the Gulf anywhere is an accident. But this was a deliberate result of a deliberate action taken by BP to not provide emergency stop switch or whatever the hell it's called that you people in the North Sea insist on.
That's right. That's right. And of course, I mean, well, I'm one day behind, of course, always usually on my podcast, but I get the Rachel Maddow program on my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I only saw her Gulf special, and I thought the way she closed the program was huge. I mean, you know, that the government has got to do everything. And hey, you right-wingers, if there's no government help on this, then it's been gone for a long time. So.
Yeah, you know, just sickening to me is when a disaster like this occurs, these right-wing bastards don't call on the evangelical church to come and clean up the disaster or to save them. They call on the federal government. I will guarantee you that if this stuff starts heading towards the Texas coast, that Governor Rick Perry is going to be screaming his guts out for help from the Obama administration. And this is the same freak who had the audacity to talk about Texas seceding from the Union. But, you know, this is occurring in that part of the United States that is known for harboring morons and producing an abundant supply, bumper crop, year after year of absolute morons come out of the South, the American South.
I know, Mike. Do you remember when Bush stole the election and Michael Moore put up on his website the United States of Canada, which was the whole West Coast and the whole Northeast merging into part of Canada, and then the rest of it was Jesus Land.
Right.
And unfortunately, you're living in Jesus Land, Mikey. But I think that Vancouver, British Columbia, would be a fabulous place for you to relocate to, if you don't come to Finland, of course.
Vancouver, British Columbia, while it's beautiful, sits on one of the most dangerous
earthquake faults
on the planet.
Yeah.
And,
well, you can't escape anything, Mike. It's one thing or the other.
No, and probably, some Republican has his finger on the trigger of that earthquake fault. Hey, listen, Alan, thank you very much for checking in. We're just about ready to go to the end of the program here. I appreciate hearing from you, okay?
Alternative energy people, start yelling.
Yeah, I hear that. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, take care, Mike.
You too. That is it for us from here tonight. We are flat out of time. Got a bunch of good emails here that came in that I wanted to share with you, but we just don't have time. We'll get to them tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.